This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on the River Islands guest line right now, Brian Ballinger, presented by a proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. And Baldy, first and foremost, welcome. I got to give you credit, man. You called it from the start of the playoffs. Eagles going 4-0, and they looked like the best team. And I don't even know, were you shocked by it? The way they dominated Patrick Mahomes, I've never seen anything like that. I've even in the Super Bowl that they lost to Tampa, like Mahomes was still making some throws where I was just looking like, wow, this guy's incredible. He had no chance, Baldy. No chance.
No, the funny thing, Joe, is the Eagles never blitzed once. 38 drop back passes, they never blitzed. It was a four-man rush. One time they ran a zone pressure and brought Zach Bond. But other than that, not just a four-man rush. They didn't have any twist stunts. There was any stunts. It was just man-on-man. And, you know, the reason why I thought they would go 4-0, regardless of who the opponent was, is because I saw real player development throughout the season. I saw a guy like Nolan Smith, who didn't start for the first 6 weeks, and really didn't make any impression at all, to a guy that might be the most feared edge rusher in the league right now.
Wow.
And the most violent edge rusher in the league right now. In the course of a season, that's not to mention Jalen Hunt or Milton Williams, Jalen Carter's beast. I mean, I call them the Filthy Four in honor of Philadelphia, but they're the Filthy Four, and it doesn't matter what four is out there. They changed the game, and Mahomes was sacking himself. He was running around like he was back at Texas Tech, and he was playing Oklahoma, and he was just trying to, you know, put a touchdown on the board. I haven't seen him look like that in his 8 years as a starter.
Yeah, I thought it was a huge organizational win. Obviously, Howie and player drafting and swinging trades, letting guys walk like Javon Hargrave. They lost Fletcher Cox and Kelsey, you know what I mean? And for them to reload the way that they have in a variety of ways, and then hiring the best candidates, Vic Fangio, he was brilliant. And this guy Bond coming out of nowhere, like no one knew who this guy was. Baldy, what is their weakness? Like, I'm looking at them, and I'm from the Niner perspective. It's like, that's the team that we have to catch. And I'm saying to myself, I don't even know where you start, because I'm not sure that team has a weakness that can be exploited currently.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I thought they'd go 4-0, Joe. They don't have a weakness. And really, outside of Mekhi Becton being a free agent, and I know he doesn't want to go anywhere, but, I mean, they've got everybody back under contract, from Lane Johnson to Juergens to Mulata. Saquon's got a new deal. Jalen's under. I mean, they're all coming back. And defensively, they're the youngest defense in football. And so, honestly, you strike gold. Like, I call the kid Cooper DeJean. I call him Cooper DeJam. Like, he just jams everybody at the line of scrimmage. They're excellent tacklers, Joe. Excellent tacklers. They don't miss open field tackles. They communicate very well. The rookies look like salty 5-year veterans playing on that defense. They don't have a weakness right now. The only weakness is what most teams suffer from after they win a Super Bowl, and that's just, you know, do they just get complacent? Complacency is the thing that can take them a step back. But I don't know if they have those type of players that are going to get complacent.
Brian Ballinger joining us here, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop and Baldy? You know, we talked about it last week. You know, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes going for the three-peat. What makes Andy Reid so special? And then I asked you, conversely, What is it about Nick Sirianni we're not talking about? And it's, you said it right here on our airwaves. It's his ability to connect with his coaches and his players. And you mentioned it in your last answer right there, you know, the players getting better throughout the season and his pulse on that team. Shasky and I were debating yesterday, you know, comparing and contrasting Sirianni and Shanahan. Is there anything that Kyle Shanahan could learn from Nick Sirianni this past year and use it heading into next season?
Well, without really knowing what it's like behind the scenes, Joe, that guy never, ever puts anything in front of his players. Like he literally eliminates every... He never, ever calls a player out. He never calls a coach out. He takes all the heat himself when things don't go right, and things didn't go right the first 4 weeks of the season. Like, he takes all the heat. And I don't know that Kyle doesn't do that, but I don't know if he does it to the extent that Nick does. And all he does is believe in his players. Even when they collapsed last year, like, the press conferences never really changed. Like, all he just said is, you know, we're going to figure this out. This is on us. And it's us. It's always us. It's never an individual. And you don't, the thing that's, now I'm not going to criticize Kyle here. He's had his share of successes. But this team always looks prepared, always looks prepared. They never look sluggish. I mean, if you take out the one game in week 16 where Jalen got concussed in the first quarter, he went 14-0. And, you know, he doesn't. And look, part of it is him, part of it is Jalen, part of it is Nick, part of it is Kellen Moore. They decided that we're not putting the ball in harm's way. We're not throwing the ball in the middle of the field into any kind of coverage. We're not doing it. Like, we'll take a sack. Our quarterback is a great runner. We'll run it. We'll punt. But we're not going to. He's thrown two interceptions in those 14 games. One was Sunday, and it was, look, the interception was at the goal line. They got the ball at the two. Turned out to be a great punt. But, you know, they take care of the football. They just don't put it in harm's way. And so, you know, they took the ball away 13 times in the postseason. They turned it over once. I mean, only the Cowboys in 92 had a better turnover ratio in the postseason.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, I'm thinking about Howie Roseman, the GM. I think football, maybe more than all the sports, there's such a player familiarity for these guys that are coming out in college. Like, the draft is almost over the top in terms of the fandom and how we view it. But, like, what Howie has done and the culture that he's built to win with two different coaches, two different quarterbacks in very different ways. You know what I mean? The team looks a lot different today than it did in 2017 when they won it all. There's almost like a Theo Epstein kind of vibe from him, where he's kind of like like the end all be all for that organization. You know, Jerry West, obviously in the NBA, is somebody that's beloved. I mean, how is Howie going to be remembered? Is he a Hall of Famer now already as a GM? I think he's one of the best. I don't know, man. I thought it was his imprints were all over that roster.
Oh, I mean, you know, he's got two Super Bowl wins, okay, as a GM, and a third appearance where they were beaten 2 years ago. And, you know, nobody retooled the roster this offseason better than Howie. When they finished the season last year, they might not even have been a playoff team. But you add Saquon, you add Mekhi Becton, who nobody thought could play guard. But you say, give him to Jeff Stoutland, let him coach him up. You go and draft Quinyon Mitchell. They could have taken any corner. That was the first corner off the board. He's clearly the best corner. The guy is an absolute rock star. Cooper DeJean, they trade up in the second round to get him. You go take a flyer on Zach Bond, who's a third round pick in New Orleans and never found a position. And all he did was fill up the stat sheet every week. Like, Fred Warner has never filled up a stat sheet the way Zach Bond did, and we love Fred Warner. But this is a third-round pick, like Fred was, that came in here and started 21 straight games. They took a chance on Jalen Carter when there was some questionable things about him. But they said, we've got Fletcher Cox, we've got Brandon Graham, we've got Lane Johnson, we've got Jalen Hurts, we've got a strong locker room. This kid's going to shape up, and he did. He's never been an incident with him. And so you just go through the whole list here, and he didn't make a mistake. But to get Saquon the way that he did, to trade for A.J. Brown during the draft not just trade for him and take him from Tennessee, but give him a $100 million contract during the draft. Like, that's preparation. That's like, we can get this guy. Like, there's no stone unturned from Howie. And look, he's not everybody's cup of tea. Like, there's a lot of people that aren't exactly crazy about working with Howie. But that's all right.
Why is
that? I mean, that's just, he just drives hard, you know? And, but he has an intelligence about him that not many people in his position have.
They're just so cohesive, that entire organization, from the ownership to the GM level to the coaching. There just seems to be a chain of command, and everyone is in sync right now. And they're the model organization, I think, in all of professional sports in America, at least. Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Morning Roast, Spadoni and Shasky. And we're going to get into the 49ers because, you know, there was the Adam Schefter report Sunday morning. Everyone got a Super Bowl Sunday, Deebo Samuel wanting out. Before I get to that, the Kansas City Chiefs. They were going for history, and they didn't win it. They didn't win three in a row. They've been amazing. Are we going to be looking at this Chiefs team taking a potential step back next year, Baldy? They're going to be losing some offensive linemen. Their defense just got absolutely shredded. I know they tried. They stuffed Saquon, and that was clearly the game plan. But they bet Jalen Hurts to throw the ball, and he did it. And he was in sync with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Like, he was getting a Dallas Goedert. There was wide open at times. Where do the Chiefs go from here? Because obviously, whenever you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, I treat it like Belichick and Brady. You got a chance. But do you see them taking a step back next season?
No. But you know, look, if you're picking at 30, 31, 32 every year, you're not getting Lane Johnson. You're not getting Trent Williams. You're not getting an elite tackle. That, you know, the fact that they don't have a left tackle. And they, you know, they missed some picks. You know, the second round pick from BYU, Wanya Morris, the third round. They're missing those guys. They need a solid left tackle. Put Tooney back in at guard. Look, Xavier Worthy's going to be a star in this league. I mean, so there was a stretch in this game, a minute to go, down 24-0 in the first half. I don't know what happened to DeAndre Hopkins, but he's going to score on that play.
Hands.
The Philadelphia completely blew the coverage. He's going to score. It's going to be 24-7. They come out, get the ball in the second quarter, third quarter after halftime, and Xavier Worthy is streaking through the post. And Mahomes sees him. The left guard just gets crushed by Jordan Davis. It's going to be another touchdown. It has a very good chance of being 24-14. Xavier Worthy is he's just a rookie. The kid is going to be a star. He runs better than anybody. His route running, he scares the living daylights out of you. They didn't have an answer for him. I think Kansas City can get back. They need to find a left tackle, a stud left tackle, and they need a big time running back. Nothing against Pacheco, or you know, they picked up Hunt, you know, off of the street. They need a, you know, a real. They missed on that position too, but I feel like they need a stud running back the way the, not that you can get Saquon, but you need a stud running back in this business like McCaffrey, and if they get themselves a left tackle, I think they could retool pretty quickly.
Yeah, you know, I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, why aren't they going no huddle here, especially in the second half, and try to manipulate stuff at the line and then force them not to substitute? But anyway, that being said, I'm listening to Brady talk about Mahomes. And of course, Niner fans, Montana's still better than Mahomes. And, you know, Brady's still the GOAT and all that. Brian, you do this for a living. You played in the Montana era. You watched every snap of Brady's career. You broke down all the film. You've seen Mahomes. When you just hear the GOAT conversation and all of the rhetoric around quarterback, what's your thoughts on this? Because I find it absurd that we do these one-game samples and, oh, that guy sucks. He's never going to be the greatest. It's like, wait a minute, he's 29. Okay, they've been to 5 Super Bowls here. Like, yes, they've gotten blown out, but like, come on, can we have a little bit of perspective? You, as someone who knows these guys, played in the sport, studies it, what do you think when we have these quarterback conversations out from afar of the fans?
Well, you know, last week at this time, Joe, we were talking about creating his own legacy of winning 3 in a row. I mean, we're 7 days, you know, we're 2 days removed from having that conversation. And that's, like, I was in Mobile last week, or I was in New Orleans last week. I mean, that was a conversation in every single radio station. Is he the new modern GOAT? Like, one game doesn't change any of that. Like, he, and then actually the way that he handled the post game, like, you can't handle it any better. Like, this is going to stay with me forever. Like, not just this off season, This is going to stay with me forever. Like, he's going to be driven by this. And so, and Andy is too. And so is, you know, Brett Veach. Like, they're going to go find a left tackle. They're going to go find a stud running back. Like, they're not going to sit and lick their wounds here. Like, I just love the way that he handled it. Like, it was just, I got to be better. We got, you know, like, it was just about him and playing at a higher level. Not the fact that his, you know, his offensive line got crushed and the Eagles, you know, just manhandled him, whatever. Like, he did it the right way. And the conversation, we'll be back here next year talking with him about being the best of all time. It's not going to go away.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And Baldy, as I mentioned earlier, all the Niner fans woke up, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. They're already miserable because it's Eagles Chiefs. And then
it was lose-lose for me,
and
Baldy.
Then you got Adam Schefter reporting. Yeah, I talked to Debo, and Debo says, yeah, he wants to play for another team. And the 49ers and him, they're going to be parting ways. What do you make of that? Debo Samuel, it looks like time's coming to an end here. How important is it for the 49ers to not let this bleed in to, you know, the workouts, the training camps? Because the last thing this team needs, Baldy, is another distraction. That it was just absolutely filled with distractions last year. We were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. They had some distractions before the season, right? Oh, head coach, Sirianni, Jalen Hurts. A lot of that was smoke, I feel like, obviously, at this point.
Yeah.
But they didn't let that distract them at all in the season. The 49ers, that lingered and that festered in that locker room.
I agree. And I think, if Debo doesn't want to be there, then accommodate him. First of all, it's a heavy contract that they don't really need based on the production. And there's nobody amongst us or fans that don't like Debo or respect Debo. We've seen the things that he has done in this league. But, you know, they're right now they're hamstrung by some really big contracts. You know, the IU contract is big. We'll see if he comes back and what, you know, what player he is when he comes back. So you don't know right away or when he comes back. But, you know, they've got a lot of money put into the wide receiver position and a lot of key positions. And at some point, you got to pay Brock this year. You know, you're going to have to find that money somewhere. If they can find a caretaker right now, you drafted Pearsall. There's going to be receivers in this draft. Maybe not as good or dynamic as Debo, whether it's the return game, running, all the versatility that he presents. But I would say, to your point, the quicker they can get this thing settled, the better they can get into their offseason.
Baldy, we know they need to upgrade their defense. I mean, that's obvious. They need to get the trenches better. Defensive line, offensive line. Those go without saying. But how important is CMC to this whole equation? Like, I know in the Super Bowl, it didn't matter as much. Saquon was a big part of why the Eagles were the Eagles this year. A huge part. And yes, his offensive line is a big, but he's a game changer. I mean, just an absolute game changer. How important is CMC? Because I don't know. I don't know if he's ever going to be the guy that he was 2 years ago. And this is a run-first team. And I know that if they can get that play action going, boy, Brock looks good, you know, under center and Kittle and everything. So is that the number one question on the team right now?
I think so, Joe. I do. You know, the one thing, you know, if you compare the two, I mean, look, Christian was beat up all year. You know, the offseason, he was never really healthy, right? And affected the way that he played. Saquon went through years like that in New York where he wasn't healthy. And that's why he was basically allowed, you know, to go into free agency with the Eagles. I mean, for the most part, because of his injuries. And they didn't know. The Giants didn't know that he didn't get nicked once this year. Maybe his wrist in a playoff game looked like it bothered him a little bit, but his legs were healthy. And when his legs were good, he was the biggest difference. It's the reason why the Chiefs had the game plan they did, where they pressed outside. They played two deep safeties, and they loaded the box, and they, you know, they corralled him. He still had some plays in the passing game, but for the most part, they corralled him. You know, one of the few teams that are able to do it. But they built their game plan around corralling Saquon the way other teams did with McCaffrey, and it opened up a lot of other things. The quarterback is going to be better. Everybody's going to be better if McCaffrey can regain his form. And I don't know. I mean, that 400-plus carry season, we'll see what Saquon's like next year after all the work that he got this year. We know his speed didn't change. I don't think McCaffrey's speed has changed, his breakaway speed. But we got to see if Christian can regain the ability to break tackles and to hold up for a 20-game season the way we just watched Saquon do it.
Baldy, we were talking yesterday, and obviously you come away from that Super Bowl, it's the trenches, right? Offensive line, defensive line, that's where you need to start with your football team. But at the same time, you can be greedy a little bit and say, hey, if a guy like Davante Adams is out there, if he gets released from the New York Jets, from Palo Alto, West Coast guy, if you move off Debo Samuel, should the 49ers be interested in a guy like Davante Adams if he comes at the right price?
Look, I respect and I like Davante, but man, if I'm the 49ers, I'm trying to get younger. I'm just trying to get younger. Like, I don't know, like I was just in Mobile. They got some flyers there. I mean, you look at the Eagles, Devontae Smith is 25 years old. AJ is 28. Like, you know, they're young. I mean, you look at Jahan Dotson was a first-round pick. They've got three first-round picks. None of them are 28 years old. Like, I just want young legs, guys that can that have a burst. I know Devontae has these 10 different releases that he can win one-on-ones, and that's great. I just want to get younger. I want to get the way the Eagles got younger. Draft and develop. Like, I don't think you should fear that. I think that's the approach you have to take. Every once in a while, you could go get Trent Williams like they did. And you could take a guy like that who's just a Hall of Fame player, and you do it. Not that Davante isn't. But if I'm the 49ers, I want to get faster and I want to get younger. Everywhere I can on the field.
Baldy, looking at the whole NFL season, right? The league's always trending in certain directions. There was a time we phased running backs out. Now it feels like they're phased back in. What's your big takeaway for where this league is going? Offense, defense, structurally and in terms of organizations this offseason? What's everyone trying to do this offseason?
I mean, we talk about all of the quarterbacks and receivers and running backs. This league is built in the trenches. The Eagles proved that. Like, if you just look at this, Joe, like, I was talking to Joe Banner, who was, before there was Howie, there was Joe Banner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, they went from Trey Thomas to Jason Peters to Jordan Mulata at left tackle. They went from John Runyon to Lane Johnson at right tackle. Like, they never stopped loading in the trenches. And so the 49ers can't make that claim. Like, if you look at Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, right, Josh Sweat, like, Jalix Hunt, who was a kid out of Houston Christian, whatever that is, and all he did was improve. Like, they build in the trenches. And that's what you got to do. And they missed on Bryce Huff. Like, they spent a $51 million contract on Bryce Huff. He didn't fit in Vic Fangio's defense. But you sort of just eat it and move on because Nolan Smith became so good. And so you never stop throwing resources and money at the trenches. Jason Kelce retires. But 2 years before he did, he helped find Cam Jurgens. And, like, I'm not saying Cam Jurgens can be Jason Kelce, but he's pretty damn good. You know, they got Landon Dickerson in the second round out of Alabama. Yeah. They never stop building in the trenches. That's the message. And I was just talking to Daniel Jeremiah last night till midnight. This is the deepest draft for defensive tackles that we've seen. Like, it's the deepest draft. And I was in Mobile, Joe. Like, I'm telling you, I'm talking about NFL-ready-looking bodies. Big, thick, strong, and twitchy. Like, go get yourself two of them.
Is this?
Now forget about one. Go get two.
Baldy, when you say that, I want just real quick. Do you mean middle rounds, late rounds, early? Like, where?
You can find them everywhere, Joe. Like, gotcha. Take a look at that kid from Toledo, Darius Alexander. Like, that kid is 6'4", he's 305, he's twitched up, he's at Toledo. But Quinyon Mitchell was at Toledo. Like, you watch that kid play in the Senior Bowl, and you watch him work out, like, he looks like he came right out of the SEC. Like, this is the draft to go build your defensive line.
Hey, Baldy, we appreciate the time, man. And to your point, Daniel Jeremiah has mock draft 1.0. I think he has the night. He mocks Armand Membu. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Interior offensive lineman from Missouri. So, yeah, attacking the trenches first and foremost. That needs to be the priority for the 49ers. Baldy.
Thanks, Baldy.
Hey, it started with Bonte. It ended with Spadoni this season. Hey, we always appreciate it, man. You're so good to us. And if there's an emergency, you know, Debo trade, something, we'll definitely hit you up. But hey, thank you. Thank you, man.
I might be in Tahiti. I might be in Bali. I'm not sure where I'll be next Friday, but if you need me, I'll find a hot wire spot to plug in.
Yeah, if there's a shark that needs to be harpooned, we'll let
you know.
That's
right. Yes. Let's go. Hey, Baldy, appreciate
that
it, brother.
Very happy.
Let's go. Love you, buddy.
There he is. That's